Blog Talk Radio.
A taste of the apple, forbidden but sweet. A whisper of silence when two strangers meet. Something is happening, something we can't control. Oh no, forgive me for saying, I think you've just stolen my heart and soul. The stars know our secret, the one we talking, but what do we care? 'Cause nothing else matters when you look at me that way. Ah, we found a garden sent from above. Yes, we found the garden of love. Why is the world so cruel? 'Cause we're all beneath the same moon. But tonight, it's just me and you.
To welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight. Tonight is October the 10th, 2018. We're creeping closer to our 10th year anniversary, which will happen in about a month. And we really appreciate everyone that supports independent musicians. My special guest tonight on the show is Tia McGrath. Tia, welcome to the show.
Oh, John, what a thank you so much. And what a beautiful introduction. And that's so true. You know, you and I were chatting a little bit before the interview, and it is so important how we have all these people who pull this all together, the listeners, the Michael Stover, who brought us together tonight, and, of course, the artists, but, of course, you who puts this on. So thank you so much, and congratulations on your 10th anniversary coming up.
Well, thank you, and it's people like you, Tia, that keep me going because I love your album, I love the music. That song we started the show out with, Forbidden, is just a beautiful song. And I would have to say tonight we're all beneath the same moon, and we're here tonight to have a – I love to talk music, and to me I'm one of those guys, Tia, that believes that we can bring peace and love to this world, and we can bring a lot of order to this world through the arts. And people
Amen.
Are looking and people are looking everywhere but there. And it's one of the craziest things, but it's like it's right there in front of you, and it's being kind to each other and loving each other. And art teaches you to do that and teaches you to be creative. And we want to just celebrate that tonight. And I'd like to start off our conversation, Tia, if you could talk about how you got started in music and how it framed your life and how it was an influence. And then just kind of talk about, you know, where you grew up and how music had a part in your life. And then if you would like to talk about some of your influences, that would be really cool.
Okay, thank you. Wow. I grew up here on the north shore of Lake Erie in southern Ontario, Canada, a little town called Port Dover. And I really was blessed to have some great music teachers when I was in school. That was when music was, you know, part of the curriculum. And one of my first music teacher, actually, or my first vocal coach, was Maureen Dodd. And her children, she's an Irish lady, her children grew up to be Cal Dodd, who had his own TV show up here called Circus and is one of Canada's all-time voiceovers and jingle singers. And, of course, Rory Dodd, her son, who went on to be in the group Meatloaf. And, So this was in our little town was Maureen Dodd, and my mom taught school with Maureen. And so when I was about 8 years old and I decided I wanted to go to my first singing competition, my mom said, well, let's take you. My mom and dad said, let's take you over to Maureen and see if you can even sing. And so Maureen just, you know, she worked with me, and that's when I started to enter some singing competitions. And I also had some great teachers, music teachers and drama teachers who put on full productions every year, like My Fair Lady, West Side Story, Sound of Music, and I started getting into those roles and played Eliza Doolittle and also went into little theater. And then when I was about 19, I entered the Canadian Open Country Singing Contest and won the female open category. And from there, it just kind of began. I bought myself a guitar, went in and wrote a song, recorded with the studio time I had won, and ended up on a TV show in Toronto with Johnny Cash and June Carter and songs on the radio. I mean, it was very serendipitous. Yeah. And I had never, if you would have asked me when I was 8 years old, had I ever dreamed that, I knew in my heart that music was a part of me. But I never would have dreamed that it would have led me to where I am today. So it was pretty awesome journey.
That's a great story. I mean, what I like about it is the fact that you knew what you wanted and you had support and your parents supported you and you had the right people around you. And I think that's so important because a lot of times, Tia, people don't have that support and they get lost, and they get confused and they get a little off the path. And my daughter is a social worker, and so, you know, I work with her and talk to her a lot about, you know, young kids in the formative years and how important it is to have somebody that's going to say, maybe you don't need to be a mathematician. You know, maybe that's not in the stars for you. Maybe, you know, it is singing or being in the choir. I'm totally with you on that, because when I was a kid, I remember – our choir was really not serious at all. I mean, going into my freshman year, I think it was like a joke. It was like you just went to choir and goofed off. And then this lady came in who was incredible, and she taught us music, and she taught us performance, and she taught us how confidence. And it was incredible. And it changed
exactly.
me. Isn't that cool how that happens?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, and that's what's so important. I remember when I was in grade 12, and I thought, you know, up to that point, I thought I was going to go to university, I was going to get a degree, and I remember going into my guidance counselor and saying at high school and saying, you know what, I just want to sing. It's in my blood. I mean, it's what I want to do, and he literally fell backwards in his chair, and he said, well, you won't amount to anything. And I was like, well, I disagree, you know.
Yep.
And it's so right. And don't you think, John, that's what's missing today is that music and arts have been taken out of most of the curriculums. They've been treated like not a necessary part of a child's growth. And only people who can really afford to hire private music lessons, or their child is really great at art, so they can hire a private art teacher or art lessons, you know, they don't get the opportunity. And I'm lately, Tommy, my husband, and I have been championing this, and we've been going into schools and going into libraries and going into art centers and trying to share the gift of songwriting and storytelling with music to try to encourage that and hopefully, you know, put it out on a broader basis for people.
Yeah, that's I just applaud that. That is so cool. There's a couple of things that I always try to mention, and when I'm talking to musicians about this subject, there was a band that I interviewed several years ago, and I've kept in contact with them, out of Melbourne, Australia, called Rudely Interrupted. And if you ever get a chance to check them out, they're on Facebook. They have their website. It is the most incredible story. They are Rudely Interrupted. They were a bunch of kids that were they had some problems. There was kids with Asperger's disease and autism, all sorts of different issues going on. They were in Melbourne. There was this guy who decided, Rowan Brooks, who was a kind of a rock star in Australia, Tia, and he decided that he didn't want to be that. That wasn't what he wanted to do, so he quit the band, and he started teaching music in these little community centers and churches all throughout Melbourne. And one of these little groups was this little group of kids. They were in junior high school, something like that. And he said it took him like months to teach him one note, to play it at one note at one time. And he knew that there was something amazing about it, Tia. So he worked with them and worked with them. And now, for the last, I'd say, maybe 8 years, they're a touring rock band. They are incredible. They play all over the world. They played in front of the United Nations. They played at Washington, D.C. They tour. And that just goes to exactly what you were saying. These guys, when I interviewed them, they said, John, we were the kids in the back of the bus that people picked on and made fun of. Right. They wouldn't even take us. It's kind of like your guidance teacher was kind of thinking, oh, sure, Tia, you're going to be a rock star. You're going to be a singer, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's because it's unconventional and it's not something that people think about. But there's more to it than just being successful and going down the road everyone's going down. And these guys are amazing. So if you get a chance to check out their music, they've got like two or three albums out there. There's another thing that I always talk about is the Dick and Jane Project in Columbus, Ohio, where I live right outside of Columbus.
Oh, I have relatives in Columbus. We'll have to talk. Yay! That's cool.
That they have called the Dick and Jane Project. They have the area musicians that have all come together in the Columbus area, this group of them. They go into the inner city to the underprivileged kids. And they say, okay, who wants to be involved? And the kids say, yeah, I want to do this. Okay, you're going to write the lyrics. We're going to write the music. We're going to record a song. You're going to be a recording artist. Have you heard of that?
Isn't that cool? No, I haven't, but that is so awesome. And this is what we're talking about, isn't it? Like people, I think artists, it's not just that we get up and do our thing, but now it's our responsibility. Especially in this day and age when, you know, people are marching, they're protesting, they're talking about and doing a lot of complaining. But you know what, as artists, and it doesn't matter if you're music or visual arts, whatever, literary arts, if you can go into your community and share that and pay it forward, you know, then that's how we can make a difference, truly. That's how you can make a difference in today's society. And open kids' hearts, because like you mentioned earlier, a lot of these children have grown up a lot of kids that grow up thinking they're weird, they're different, they're being bullied at school, or they think they don't have the same opportunities as as other students at school, you know, it's probably because they've got some amazing talent that they're just discovering or they haven't discovered yet, and it sets them apart, doesn't it? Makes them a bit different. And
absolutely, that's a great point. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I was asking. I go through these phases with this show that, you know, it just certain things weigh heavy on me, and I start like looking into these different things. And I was asking that question, Tia, to a lot of people I was interviewing lately, is what is the responsibility of an artist? Is it just, you know, just to put out music and to be, you know, famous and popular and to have, you know, an influence maybe on people through buying the music? But I agree with you 100%. It's way more than that. It's that creative spirit. It's that confidence, because I've talked to so many folks that have said that they did not have confidence until they realized, hey, I can do this. You know what?
That's right.
I can, I can absolutely do this. And I would imagine maybe your guidance counselor, have you ever gotten contact with that person since you
left
school?
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. Yeah, John, last year I finished my, I wrote my children's book and called Jake the Road Dog, and in it I put a few songs on a CD and also the links for people. And so I received a phone call from our local library, and they have a literary award every year, and they asked me if I would go in and be the keynote speaker and talk about, you know, how I wrote my book and how I tied it in with music and everything else. And lo and behold, there in the back row was my guidance counselor.
Oh, wow.
And I had not seen him since high school. And so at the end, he came up to me and he said, you know, he said, that was so amazing. And he said, I'm so proud of you to see how far you've come and you stayed with it. And he said, you know, you really stayed true to your dream, Tia. And that just... that alone was like, wow, you know, if I could bottle that up and, and, you know, give it to people, what a cool feeling. And, you know, and also my husband and I, we tour the UK a lot, performing over there. And we've been building that up for 13 years. And this year we went over, we just got back in September, and we took my children's book. And so we were performing a number of concerts, you know, great venues, beautiful venues. But something was just, I'm coming off stage and I'm feeling like, I don't know anymore, that there's got to be something more to this. And then one little village we went into, we went in and we were invited to go to the school in the afternoon, the primary school, and do a reading from my book. And then the children sang along with us to some of our songs.
Oh, wow. That had to be awesome.
It was amazing. and the teachers are crying, and the kids just sounded amazing. They knew all the words to one of my songs. And then that night we did a concert in their community. And one of the fathers came up to me and with his daughter, and she had the book in her hand. And he said, I just want to thank you and Tommy for coming into our community and sharing this level of music with us. I couldn't afford to take my kids to the city and pay for a concert like this, but you guys came to us, and this really means a difference. And it was there at that moment, John, that truly a light bulb went off, and I was like, I found a joy that I hadn't experienced in a long time in my music.
Wow.
And I knew it was like, you know, it was like finding something deeper. And knowing at that particular moment, this is what we're supposed to be doing on the next level, is not just out performing, not just out writing songs, but actually making sure that we're inspiring a new generation and getting it to people, getting it to families, getting them off the internet and out as a family to hear some music, you know?
Oh, yeah. And you hit on the reading part. I mean, my mother was a librarian, so I grew up in the library, you know, like a lot. Mm. And I can remember school. There was a long period of time where school didn't make a lot of sense to me. But my mom was one of those people who would say, OK, John, just read anything you want to. There was no restrictions. There was no age thing.
Oh.
Just read it. And if you have questions, ask me. And that's all she told me. Wow. So I would sit down and read these amazing books. And I was, I'm just right with you on that, because I think it was that ability, you know, to be able to explore all these things that I would never know what was going on in my little town, mm-hmm. and to have the library as a center, and to have, like you're talking about, you're going to be able to reach people with your book outside of the people that are going to listen to your music. Now you're going to have a completely different audience of people.
Yeah. And that was kind of the method to my madness as well, was I just didn't want to write like a children's book. What I wanted to do was tie the two together to introduce a whole new audience. And so the book is about Jake, our dog that we rescued in Nashville when we were living there, and his journey on the road with us. So the life of a musician through the road dog's eyes, you know.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and finding the song in your heart. And so I did, like I mentioned, I put a little CD in it with three songs, and they're not children's songs. They're three songs. One is called Two Wolves, and it's the Cherokee legend of the grandfather talking to his grandson about the inner struggle, you know. And then there's Crazy Beautiful, which was the title track from our last album, and then Be Still, which is kind of a meditative one. So I planned that, and I'm really excited and happy about how it is come true, and it is doing what I'd hoped it would.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you know, the fact that you brought dogs into it is like, wow, because to me, you know, it's I think we talked a little bit about how that, you know, my wife and I are into the helping people that do the rescues, and we have a rescue dog. Cat Stevens is his name, and
That's awesome.
And, yeah, he's usually right around here, so I don't see him right now, but it's one of those things where, you know, you're talking about reaching people and with benevolence and showing people that, you know, there is a different way of going about life. You don't have to go to war with people. You don't have to beat people up. You don't have to do that. You can
That's
be
right.
peaceful, and you get your mm-hmm. point across. And who better to do that than Jake the dog? Because dogs are incredible with that.
Unconditional, you know, like, man, aren't they?
Yep.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
And speaking, a couple things that this is great. A couple things I wanted to mention. Your dog is Cat Stevens, or the dog is Cat Stevens? Did you say?
Yeah, the dog's name's Cat Stevens. Yes.
So our engineer, who worked on our album, the new album, Stubborn in My Blood, and our last album, Crazy Beautiful, is Nick Blagona. And one day we were sitting there listening to wonderful stories that he was sharing about how he had engineered Cat Stevens albums and worked
wow.
on some Cat Stevens albums. Yeah, so there you go.
Oh,
and also, great. I have family who lived in Columbus, Ohio. And my relatives, my grandparents immigrated to Canada from Transylvania. And my grandmother's sister moved to Columbus, Ohio. And so I had my dad's cousins lived in Columbus. So I spent some time down there. It's a lovely town. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just a big college town. And it's, you know, it's grown to like over a million people now. But it's still, people come here and they think, you know, it's got the small town feel to it. It's got the university
yeah.
with like 50 something thousand kids in it, but it's not, it's pretty cool place. And if you ever do come this way, I mean, we live about a half an hour outside of town. We'd love to have you, but it's one of those things where, you know, I love what you're doing with music. And now that you're writing the story, do you have plans of writing another book?
Yeah, I would like to, I'd like to write a series of these books. And so Tommy and I have actually decided after Christmas, we're just going to, you know, kind of enjoy some time sitting down and writing songs. I want to write the next book and actually just not schedule anything, you know, just sit with the snow falling
yeah.
outside and the coffee pot going and just get up and write. For the sake of writing and not put deadlines or commitments on any of it. You know, so much, we lived in Nashville and both of us had, you know, publishing opportunities. So we both, you know, were writing for Music Row, writing to get a song placement in a film or a song cut by another artist or a song for our new album, you know, and we've got to have it done at this time. And this, I don't want to do that. I just want to sit down for the first time in a long time and just write a song or write the next chapter to my book and for this, you know, just for enjoyment and creativity.
Yeah, and I think that's the greatest thing. It's like it's hard for people to do that, though, Tia, because it's hard to let go and it's hard to take a deep breath and just let the world go for a while. I mean, that's one of the hardest
gosh.
Things for and Nashville's got to be like.
Head.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I visited Nashville before, and it's like I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for how crazy it was. And mm-hmm. I've interviewed. I've interviewed a bunch of people that have dropped their lives, dropped everything, and moved to Nashville. And it's just, and I, you know, I followed a couple through their careers, and it's a pretty tough place to go. And when I was, one guy got a hold of me, he said, Marcy and I were going down, and he said, well, it doesn't really matter where you go, John, because every bar, every club you go in, you're going to hear the best musicians you've ever heard in your life. And I said,
yeah.
Oh, yeah? And he said, every one of them are incredible. And I thought,
yeah.
And he was absolutely right. And it was just like amazing. So, Tia, is it overwhelming to be there, or is it like such a great vibe with all the different musicians and all the people that you have things in common with? How did you deal with that part of it to try to, you know, okay, I want to write music, I want to be in this, but I don't want to get swept away in all of this?
You know, that's a great question. When I moved there, and right now Tommy and I are based up in Ontario, Canada again, but when I moved there, I had, like I mentioned earlier, I had had some, you know, videos on CMT Canada. I had been writing with people like Randy Bachman from BTO and all these amazing songwriters. And, you know, but I left everything here at home and my family and everything. And I packed it all up in my little car and I drove to Nashville. And but I had a work permit in hand and, you know, and a place lined up to rent and everything. And some songs published with a publishing company. So I had some friends down there who helped me out, get started, you know, and everything. So I really had a good base when I moved there. Tommy moved there from Los Angeles, and he had a full staff writer's deal in hand. And we were introduced to each other through his publisher. But I think the big thing for me was I didn't move there thinking I was going to stay there forever. I kind of moved there with the approach, like, I'm going to treat this like university. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to give it my all, and I'm going to learn. And so they have a rule down there. It's called writing up or a term. And that means that you seek out writers who are more established or better, and you learn from them. And so what I did was I started right away just seeking out other writers that I felt I could write up with. And, I mean, I remember one night being at the Douglas Corner Cafe and seeing Andrew Gold perform. You know, Andrew Gold, who wrote Lonely Boy and all those Linda Ronstadt hits. And I literally walked up to him and handed him my CD at the end of the show, and I said, hi, I'm from Canada, and I'd love to write with you. And I think he was so shocked that, you know, a little nobody would walk up to him. And he said, oh, okay, this has got to be good then. And so sure enough, he contacted me and he said, I really like your songs and I like your voice. And so I did that. And people asked me, how did you write with Andrew Gold? And I said, I just asked him, you know.
That's great.
I think that's the biggest thing I have. Yeah, that's the biggest thing I could say to artists and songwriters is don't be afraid. If you feel your intuition tells you, I need to step forward and do this, you know, take the shot. The worst thing that can happen, you know, it sounds so cliche, but the worst thing that can happen is they can say no, right? And that's not always the worst thing. It could be, you know, just wasn't the right situation or the right timing, but that's what I did. And then when Tommy and I, we got to a place, we'd been there for a number of years, Music Row was changing, publishing deals were ending. People were, the whole genre was changing. And we just felt that that's not where we needed to be anymore, that we needed to get out on the street and hit the road. And that's what we did. So for the last about 8 years, we've just been touring nonstop and taking our songs out to people and sharing it that way.
That's so cool. I mean, I really understand what you're saying, because it's like one of those things where, okay, so you've got this fear in front of you. I'm going to make a fool out of myself if I do this. And then you kind of think, well, hey, why not? It's like, I might as well. And then if it works, it's great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, you just keep trying. And it's kind of like with me and some of the people that I've interviewed through these years, there's no way in the world I would ever think that that would happen. But I remember my wife telling me once when we were, it was like, you know, some years back, and she said, well, exactly what you said. Well, what's the worst that could happen? They could say no. And I said,
Yeah.
And so I really think that's such a great message to tell people. There are in what this has kind of worked into, Tia, is like, I wasn't quite sure what the audience of this show was going to be. And it's worked into like musicians and fans of musicians. And it's like this family of independent musicians. And then like we get, I know these older guys have been around, and they'll say, hey, John, I got this really cool young group. And I'll say, yeah, that's awesome. We'll play their music. And then it's kind of like this mentoring thing, like you're talking about. It's like, you know, they're picking up from these guys, and they're listening to their music, and they're saying, well, you know, what should I do? And I think that's the coolest thing, you know, with independent musicians, is the fact that they can, you know, kind of like lean on each other and learn from each other. And
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We are the industry now. You know, when, you know, 10 years ago, when you first started your show, I'm sure, you know, the industry was different than it is now. And the industry was, you know, you got a publishing deal, or you got a record deal, or, you know, you tried to be on a major label, blah, blah, blah. Independent music was just kind of starting and surfacing. But now independents are the industry, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the minority now are the major label artists. And so if you keep that in mind, as anyone who, if they're 16 years old or they're 60 years old, and you know, you can create your niche in the industry. You can create with the internet, with your purpose, with your talent. You can create whatever you want to do. I mean, you could be a 16-year-old that wants to just start playing, going into your high schools or going into, you know, your communities and sharing music and getting your friends inspired. Or you could be someone who's 60 that says, you know what, I just want to go play those old folk tunes, and I know that there's some great seniors down here, like a seniors community center or something like that, and I can go play this music there, and or vice versa. I mean, you know, young kids love listening to older people, and, you know, vice versa. And so we can create our own place in the industry, and really independents are the industry, as far as I'm concerned.
No, you said that perfectly. And I've seen so many things change, and I've seen a lot of people get burnt chasing record deals and going after this elusive star that isn't even shining anymore. And it's like, you know, just work on your trade. I would say just work on your music, work really hard, and it'll be fine. You know, there's been record companies I've seen come and go, Tia, that have just taken their money, you know, and said, oh yeah, you give me $5,000 and I'll set you up. And it's like, they never see the money and all this crazy stuff happens. But I think if they just, you know, work because you love it and you want to do it. And I think when I ask musicians, Tia, what is it that you, why do you do that? Why do you put yourself out there? Because it's not easy to do that, write music that's personal and go out and sing it and do that. And they say it's basically because of the reaction they get back. And it's when they hear somebody singing the words to their songs, or like you said, reading that book.
Those little
that's
those little children singing those little children singing and, you know, back to us in their little English voices. I mean, it was just so amazing.
Oh, that's great.
You know, but it, and, but it's also, you know, Tommy and I, we've been in this industry for so long and we've done all aspects of it and seen all aspects of it. And at the end of the day, you know, we can't stop because it's what we do. It's who we are. It's, you know, as cliche as this sounds, it's like, you know, you might as well put a bag over my head and stop me from breathing kind of thing. So somehow, some way, we're always going to keep going and hopefully share our music. And as long as there's people who want to book us for concerts, we'll show up and play. And this weekend, we're having the wonderful opportunity of going to a church and help and doing a beautiful concert there and helping raise funds for them. In November, we're going to be doing some pet expos and sharing the book with pet lovers and. You know, and then we're going out west to share with some students at university and primary school. So it's all in between, and it's just as long as you can wake up every day and make music. That's what it's about, isn't it?
That is, and it's just really great that you're able to do that, and you're really good at it. So that helps. But it's my guest is Tia McGrath. And you can go to her website, tiamcgrath.com, and all the great things she's talking about. Let's play a song. So the title song is Stubborn in My Blood. Would you like – we'll play that. Would you like to talk about that before we play it?
Yeah. There's a lot of talk right now about, you know, diversity and immigration and everything. Now, I'm Canadian-born of Transylvanian and Scottish background. Tommy is American, born of Native American and Spanish background. And so you can imagine, I mean, we're passionate, we're fiery people. And, but one day, you know, we were driving along and I don't know, we were talking about that. And Tommy said something like being stubborn. And I said, well, stubborn's in my blood, Tommy, I'm Transylvanian Scot, you know? And it was a joke at first, you know, and then we started to write the song, but the song itself now has kind of become our anthem. And so we're hitting and of course, everything going on now, the public discussion about, you know, people, where they're from and how do we fit into society and, you know, and I just think like everyone should be proud of where they came from. You know, we have.
Right.
We have relatives, Transylvanian relatives, who are living in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I think it's just amazing. And if we celebrate that instead of everyone being afraid of everyone's uniqueness, instead if we celebrated it, I think the world would just be a cooler place. And this is what the song's about.
And that I agree with everything you said. Stubborn in My Blood, this is Tia McGrath. We'll be right back after this.
Highlander. Oh, they run through me.
On John Talk Radio with Tia McGrath. You can go to her website, tiamcgrath.com. Her latest release is Stubborn in My Blood. You just heard the title track from that. It's a really cool song. And you said, Tia, that you tour Europe. Have you gone to Scotland and played there?
We just did. I actually got back. And so we played. It was really fun to play that up there. You know,
yeah.
Especially talking about the Jacobite Highlanders. And because not all of them were Jacobite Highlanders, right? And but they loved it and they embraced it. And we actually got to go play at the perform at the Nairn Book Festival. And Nairn, Scotland, is where my mom's family originated.
Oh, wow.
From. So it was really cool. And of course, when you go there, I mean, everything dates back so far back that it's just really neat. And it's just so beautiful, just really, we had a great time. And then we got as far south as the Devon area where the Dartmoor Ponies are, and we did a concert, and it was a commemorative celebration for the Canadians that have fought with the British in World War One. And, of course,
wow.
We're coming up to the history, or the anniversary of World War One, right, the 100-year anniversary. So, yeah, so that was really amazing and complete with, we sang Long Way to Tipperary, I read in Flanders Fields. We had 8 chairs set out to commemorate the 8 soldiers from that town who went to war and never came back, and one of them was in the Canadian Brigade. So it was
wow.
really beautiful, and then we planted a maple tree outside, so it was just really cool.
Yeah, that really sounds cool. Now, we talked a little bit about the music industry, Tia, and how it's changed. With you, or your connection with fans in Europe and in different places, do you think if we wouldn't have had the internet, do you think that it would be like that today for you? Or do you think it would be a lot? It might be there, but it would be a lot more difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, the internet, as much as we all complain and I think we forget, yes, there are disadvantages, you know. Maybe we just need to shut off our phone sometime and go out and sit and have a coffee with someone face-to-face and talk, have a conversation,
right.
You know, instead of texting and whatever. However, the music industry used to be, you know, where, like I said, you had to have a major record label deal or a major publishing deal in order to get out there and have that machine behind you. Nowadays, you can do it yourself. You just get on the internet. And what I did, 13 years ago, even when we were sitting in Nashville and in our little condo there, and Tommy and I decided we wanted to go to England and perform, I just basically got a map of England, put it up on my wall, and started searching the internet. And I'd go, you know, I wonder what this place is like and what venues are there, what music venues, who's played there. And I would start to look at artists that I really thought, that our music was similar to theirs. And so I would see where they were playing, and it just started that way. And that's what led us to where we are today, being able to go over there and do nice tours and get into bigger halls and bigger venues and things.
Yeah, and I've talked to bands that have played together and made beautiful music together, Tia, have never met each other. So it's like, that's good
yeah.
and bad, I guess. Yeah,
oh,
I mean, it could be bad
absolutely.
Because you, but it's good because,
yeah.
gosh, it was this group of these guys that I met. They were called the Toy Horses, and they met the drummer from Wilco and through the internet, and they made a music together, and he loved their music. They never met each other. You know, it was like they kept sending files back and forth and making this really cool stuff. And I thought, that's kind of magical, you know? I mean, it couldn't have happened without it. So I guess, like you're saying,
well,
you know,
yes. And John, in that note, the first song that you played was Forbidden from our album. And we wrote that. We were over in England last year. We were in Liverpool. And we wrote it with our friends Henry Priestman and Peter Riley. And we got home, and when we were recording the album this winter, Tom and I just loved the song. But what caught on the work tape was the magic of Peter and Henry playing their instruments and their harmonies. So we thought, well, how are we gonna get them on this album, you know? And so Tommy just messaged them and said, how can we make this happen? And so Peter and Henry found a friend's studio that they went into, and they put down their harmonies and their guitars, and then flew them back to us, and we were able to build the whole track around that. So, like you said, I mean, that's pretty amazing that we can do that in this day and age, and you know, and it's part of what we do. We have to embrace that.
So when you put this album together, A Submarine in My Blood, talk about that. We don't have a lot of time left, but talk about how the ideas and everything came together and the studio work. I think that's one thing, Tia, that a lot of fans and a lot of people that listen to music really don't understand: the work that goes into that, and all of the like the selection of the songs, the writing of the songs, that whole thing. So was there a concept? How did the whole idea work, and kind of step us through that if you could?
Okay. Well, our last CD called Crazy Beautiful was such a crazy beautiful ride for us that it was hard to follow up with that one, and the timing and everything. And so we weren't even sure, Tommy and I weren't even really sure if we were ready to do another album. We were kind of tired. We were kind of feeling like, you know, do we really want to step out into that, you know, La La Land again of recording an album and everything that goes with it, touring and promotion and everything. But we did. We just sat down. It was in the winter time, and we started looking through some songs that we had written. And we have our own studio here in the house, so we were able to, over the last couple of years, write and record as we're going. But those songs, most of those didn't even make it on the album, but they did inspire us. The big pivotal song on this was called Let Them See You're Strong. And we had been in Nashville writing with our friend Devin, and she presented this idea to us and asked us if we'd help her finish it. So we did, and then after that we went back down and recorded it with Catherine Marks, who is Reba's piano player. And from there, I think that was the hub for the whole album, and everything kind of fell in around it. And then it just took on this big message that we didn't really plan on, you know. The Me Too movement has embraced Let Them See You're Strong. Now Stubborn in My Blood is kind of like the immigration issue. And we just let it fall into place. And when we were done recording it, we just let it be organic. We didn't rush the release of it. But we started sending it out to our fans, and they really encouraged us and said, this is really great. And so we let it be for our fans and to inspire people. And I think because we came from that place, I think that's why it's doing well and being well received.
Yeah, you're doing it for the right reasons. I really applaud that. And I can't say enough about it, good things about it. Thank you so much for being on, Tia. It's been just great talking to you. I've really enjoyed our time together.
Oh, same here, John. Thank you so much. And anytime, and hopefully we've inspired some people out there tonight. And congratulations again on your 10th year anniversary coming up. Many more, my friend.
Well, thank you. Is there anything, you did talk about a few things going on. Is there any other gigs or promotions or projects or anything that you'd like to talk about, before the interview's over, or anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yeah, one thing Tommy and I are really championing, and we had, in fact, we had a meeting today, is the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. And if all of you can go check that out, Dolly donates books around the world to help promote reading, and she's donated 1 million books worldwide. And
Wow. Our
community here has a chapter, and so different communities have their own chapter of that. And Tommy and I are donating a portion of proceeds from our book sales to that, to our local chapter. And we've also done some benefit concerts for that. And so I think for every artist, you find your passion, and then whether it be rescue animals or whether it be, you know, children or special needs, whatever it be, and you know, try to do some good through your art by donating or doing benefit concerts. It's such a joy. And so we're really excited about being a part of the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library.
That sounds awesome. I'll have to check that out. I wasn't aware of that, so that'll be something to look into. Well, thank you, Tia. And I just wish the best for you. And we'll definitely keep in touch. And if you come to visit people in Columbus, let me know. And we'll definitely. It'd be fun. Thank you so much. And I want to thank the people that have been supporting us through the years and the independent musicians. And I really appreciate everybody that listens and supports this. So thank you. And thank you, Tia. And everybody have a great evening. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good night, everyone. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Let them see your light.
Kingdom on a mountain, and the valley folk below.